The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM Newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.
Our top local story on WBBM, a Lincoln Park man's been charged with murder in connection with a fatal shooting the day before Thanksgiving. The latest details from WBBM's Nancy Hardy.
35-year-old John Conway lives about 3 miles from where Alexander Nesterik was shot and killed. Chicago police say Conway turned himself in very early 2 days ago. He now faces one felony count of first-degree murder. Witnesses say 34-year-old Nesterik of Wheaton was behaving erratically most of the day, November 27th, threatening pedestrians and throwing things at cars near Clark and Fullerton. Then, at around 4 o'clock, they say he got into an altercation with a man who shot him and walked away. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Two overnight fires on Chicago's southwest side damaged a business and sent a man to the hospital. Chicago firefighters and police responded to a fire at a business at Archer in California just before 3 this morning. No injuries were reported. At the other fire, police were called to a single-family home where a man needed medical attention for injuries to his hands. No other injuries were reported.
A Springfield woman shot to death by police last summer is going to be honored today as her family and friends continue to fight to keep the accused shooter behind bars.
Dedication is today for a pedestrian bridge in Springfield. It's now the Sonia Massey Memorial Bridge, named for the woman who called police to check on a potential prowler and ended up shot to death by one of the responding deputies, Sean Grayson. An appeals court has ruled Grayson should receive a hearing to determine if he should be released from jail while awaiting trial. Massey's father, James Wilburn, says the appellate ruling is a misuse of the no cash bail law.
My message to those three judges who ruled unanimously that Sean Grayson is not a danger to the people of Springfield. If you got room in your house, give him a bedroom to live in your house. If there's a house for sale on your block, let him move on the block where you live.
Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
A Kenosha County manufacturing facility is expanding. WBBM's Rachel Pearson joins us live on the Newsline with the details.
Eli Lilly and Company says there's a growing need for its diabetes and obesity products. That's why the medical company is expanding its manufacturing plant in Kenosha County. The $3 billion investment includes land acquisition, a warehouse expansion, as well as 750 new jobs. That includes operators, technicians, scientists, and engineers. Lilly plans to start construction of the Kenosha expansion sometime next year. Reporting live, Rachel Pearson, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
Company Lyft is asking its customers in Chicago to push the city council to reject a proposed tax on rides downtown on the weekend. It's the latest hurdle faced by Mayor Johnson as he attempts to close a nearly $1 billion budget deficit by the end of the year. The proposed ordinance would expand what's considered the city's downtown zone and extend a surcharge currently added onto rideshare services during weekdays to the weekend.
The smell of raw cannabis is grounds for police to search a vehicle, according to a ruling from the Illinois Supreme Court. The decision comes despite the court's previous ruling that the smell of burnt cannabis by itself does not give police a reason to search a vehicle. Alexandra Block is the director of the Criminal Legal System and Policing Project at the ACLU of Illinois and worries that the ruling will have negative consequences.
We know that the odor of cannabis generally is an excuse that police can use to try to get people to consent to searches of their cars or to search cars without consent. And most of the people who are subjected to those searches are black and brown drivers.
The court ruled 4-2 with one justice abstaining.
The Greater Chicago Food Depositories cooked up a new way to help fight hunger this year. It could reach even more people.
Joe Rockman, Chief Operating Officer of the Greater Chicago Food Depository, says they've begun a pilot program to deliver prepared meals to some of those they serve. She says seniors, the disabled, and others may not have the ability to cook their own food.
We realize that our traditional approach of taking raw materials in and sending them out the door was not a full solution for all parts of our population. There are even parts of our population that maybe don't have a kitchen.
So their new community kitchens could produce up to 10,000 meals a day if needed.
And those meals are balanced for fat content and salt content, but they make everything from scratch. And with that, we're able to provide a better solution.
We tour and learn about the Greater Chicago Food Depository on our At Issue program this weekend, and you can hear more Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Now sports, here's Josh List.
Now, one day in the future, some smart aleck Bears fan will ask Matt Eberflus, hey, do you still have that timeout in your pocket?
Ooh.
Could have kicked a field goal, gone overtime in Detroit Turkey Day. Instead, he's out of a job. Bears have lost six in a row. Interim head coach Thomas Brown and a reshuffled coaching staff insist they won't be fooled again.
New offensive coordinator Chris Beatty intends to be in Brown's ears all game long with whatever ideas his boss might not have.
Think about this on the next play. Think about this as the next third down. Think about this as the next situation, when we get the ball back, these are some of the things to think about. So try to be a play ahead for him, you know, so he can have eyes on the future.
That's especially true and crucial in late game situations. Beatty says the Bears will streamline that process and have a couple of coaches considering possibilities well before the heat of the moment demands decisions. Covering the Bears, Rick Gregg, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Fearless Detroit pulls off five fourth down conversions, almost blowing one near the end. Jared Goff slips and falls on fourth and one in Packer territory and still gets the handoff to David Montgomery, runs 7 yards for the first, sucking more clock and setting up a winning field goal for Detroit as time expires. Lions outlast the Pack on Thursday Night Football 34-31. A six-time Super Bowl winning coach, Bill Belichick, has reportedly met with the University of North Carolina about their head football coaching job. A season-high 39 points from Nikola Vucevic helps the Bulls rock the Spurs in Texas, 139-124. The Bulls take back-to-back wins into a home game with the Pacers tonight. Send in the clowns. While the Blackhawks tidy up from another head coaching switch, Luke Richardson out after 2.5 difficult seasons on the rebuild, replaced by Anders Sorensen of AHL Rockford. He's 49, expected to be interim coach the rest of the Hawks season. He's been in the organization for 11 years. Both Sorensen and GM Kyle Davidson meet reporters to talk about the head coaching gig a little later today. Josh List, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
It's not your typical holiday show. WBBM's Lisa Fielding talks with the Chicago actress, bringing a beloved Dr. Seuss character to the stage, and it's years after we first met her.
You remember me, right?
Have you ever wondered what happened to Cindy Lou Who after she met the Grinch?
When I was a youngster, I was Cindy Lou Who.
Who's Holiday stars Veronica Garza as the boozy, raunchy, honest, 40-something Cindy Lou Who.
My name is Cindy Lou Who, and I'm here to say...
She raps, she swears, she smokes, she lives in a trailer and talks in rhymes, of course.
I think when I was small, I just liked that the Grinch was so nasty. And Cindy Lou Who was so cute. She had those little antenna in her head. And I was like, what is that?
Garza says the one-woman show takes place on Christmas Eve. It's about loneliness, isolation, and regrets. But it's also about love and appreciation for family.
Yeah. This is so funny, and it's so weird, and everybody can connect to this shenanigan. It's emotional.
Whose Holiday first premiered off-Broadway in 2017 and has been at the Theater Wit for four holiday seasons. It'll perform Thursdays through Sundays through December 29th.
Oh, Merry Christmas and how do you do?
Lisa Fielding, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
And speaking of the holidays...
Be a good little fella now and open the door.
Yeah, fans of the movie Home Alone will have a chance to hear from Kevin McAllister himself tonight. Former child actor Macaulay Culkin will be at the Rosemont Theater for a nostalgic night. The event will feature a screening of the film, followed by a moderated interview and audience Q&A. It's part of a 14-city tour in the weeks leading up to Christmas, with other stops in Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin.
A tentative agreement between the Village of Arlington Heights and the Bears would have the team pay just over $3.5 million in taxes for its property in the northwest suburb. WBBM's Nancy Hardy with the details of the proposal.
It's more than twice what the team was hoping to pay. The Bears had sought for lowering the valuation of the old Arlington Park property that it bought for almost $200 million early last year. Documents the Village released yesterday say the property value would remain the same as what the Board of Review set, but the assessment would be lowered. The short-term agreement covers tax years 25 through 27, but does not address the team's bill for last year, which is $8.9 million. Amid the protracted tax debate, the Bears have shifted and kept their focus on building a stadium in Chicago. The Village and three school districts must approve the agreement. Nancy Hardy, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
This is News Radio 105.9 WBBM's All Local. Listen and subscribe for Chicago's most up-to-date news each weekday morning and afternoon. Now from the WBBM Newsroom, these are the most important news stories from the Chicago area.